Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am extremely blessed.
Well, you might have noticed for the fourth show in a row that we do not have Pastor Joe Schimmel with us today. That's because Pastor Joe is in Idaho. He's going to be preaching at one of our home congregations, one of the live feed groups that meets all across this country. We actually have one in Idaho where he's at. We have another one in Texas with the family of Jacksons there, with James and his family. And we also have another one in New York, the Von Effs, who have a wonderful little group going, and it's been good getting to know them, and Tony as well, getting to know them myself, either online or in person. We have actually some church family and family that live up in Idaho now, so you know, we're kind of expanding out a little bit, so we're pretty excited. Anyways.
And let's not forget about our Ensenada church in Mexico.
Oh, of course, yes, with Pastor Jonathan. Oh man, I'm so excited about that fellowship. We've been building different houses down there. But nonetheless, if I go down that, I will be all over the place. I want to talk about a very important subject to me personally, okay? And this is because I have a big passion when it comes to this, because I did the exact opposite of what many people in the church do. Many people from the ages of 18 to 22 turn away from the church at that age. For me, I was an atheist or agnostic, whatever you want to call it, didn't believe in God, definitely didn't live like it, and then came to know the Lord at the age 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. So right in the middle of that age group. So I did the exact opposite. While other people were turning away from, maybe people I hung out with in high school were no longer going to church and were partying it up, I did the exact opposite and flipped and came to know the Lord. So when I came into, and I have to give background a little bit on my testimony, even though you guys can listen to mine, Tony, and Joe's testimony. That was literally the first three episodes we did. And in my testimony, I have to give a little background in this episode, in case you don't listen to that one, why I'm so passionate about this subject is because of the effect it had on me. Watching people that were in the church also in the world. And why I think that it's a huge, huge deal. A couple of different things that will keep people in the church, keep young people coming to the church, keeping young people in fellowship, keeping people that go off to college in fellowship, if they have to go off to college. Praise God for online schools. I know for my children, I'm excited about that. But nonetheless, I'm really excited about being able to talk about this because it is a passion for me. It is a heart's cry passion. It's something that my heart has been wrenched from, watching young kids turn the things of the Lord aside so they can go off and party. And so I wondered, why would people leave the church at this age when this is the age you're actually sort of thinking for yourself, so to speak, and now you could actually know the Lord and come to know His Word. And just to give you a little background, guys, for you guys who haven't heard my testimony, I grew up here in Simi Valley and where the church is that I attend to this day, but I never came here, never visited this church. But over the time, I was agnostic, a drunkard, a fighter, a brawler, a wrestler, all these things. And then I was encountered by a couple of friends. They came to me to reach out to me, but I became more of an agnostic. I was more of an idol worshiper. So agnostics are too, but I was just an idol worshiper. I had kind of invented a God under the framework of American Christianity. And then what happened was, my senior year of high school, I crashed my car. I break my hand drunk wrestling. Things aren't going the way that they were before. And so this God that I had created, I started getting pretty upset with Him. And in the midst of that, I had a friend invite me to a church, to which I went with him. I thought, oh, this would be great to go to church and, you know, maybe get a free meal out of it. And I guess I'll go. So I did, and I went. And I had a party at my house the night before. And at that party, we usually would go into my room, which was the VIP room. And a lot of people would use drugs and stuff. I was more of a drinker. I never really got into the drug scene as much. But I was a drunkard. And we would have what we called the VIP room. And we would have just the, you know, the most, the better looking girls or whatever. And then my closest friends were allowed in that room. And so we did that, had that party the night before. And then next thing you know, I'm at a church the next morning. And the same people raising their hands that morning, worshiping the Lord, are the same ones that were in my VIP room the night before. So I said to myself, I'm like, this stuff's phony. And why do I even believe this? I just want to do what I want to do without anyone telling me what I can and can't do. Now, no one was telling me really. My parents love me, but I was very rebellious, strong-willed, but I was a good talker. So I could get myself typically out of a lot of trouble. But nonetheless, I got myself in a lot of trouble. And I say all that to say that you can affect people spiritually. That's what I'm trying to say. As a young person, you can affect people very, very, very much, okay? Jesus warned of the Pharisees that you are shutting out the kingdom of God to people, okay? That is something very serious that we need to recognize, that we can do that to people when we're such horrible examples, right? We're not walking in the truth of God's word and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, that we can be an absolute terrible example. It doesn't mean you're a bad example because you preach against sin. It doesn't mean you're a bad example because you don't accept homosexuality and have pride for it, okay? That's not being a bad example. Being a bad example is being a hypocrite, saying that you're a Christian and then not walking in those ways. And so I'm going to read you a few of the stats that of young people. When I first came across these studies, I was like, okay, why are young people leaving the church? And I've been involved in youth ministry for the last 8 years. And so, like I said, it is a passion for me. So I'm wondering, why are these percentages? It says that 70% of young adults ages 23 to 30 stopped attending church regularly for at least 1 year between the ages of 18 and 20. So this is a study specifically of people, 70% of young adults ages 23 to 30, of why they stopped when they were between 18 and 22. And in fact, the highest percentage, being 27% of people asked, so they simply said, I wanted a break from church. 25% moved to college and stopped attending church just so they couldn't find one. 23% said work responsibilities prevented them from attending. And 22% moved too far away from the church to continue attending and therefore didn't find a subsequent church to attend. Now, guys, there's a couple things you might notice. I think, first and foremost, the idea that the example that your parents are leading you, okay, that example is a huge reason why kids don't make it a priority. This is something that is on my heart. I mean, it really is, guys. It's something I truly, truly care about and think about a lot. I pray about a lot because it hurts my heart. Because when we don't make it a priority to come in fellowship one with another, when you don't make it a priority to come under the leadership of your church and be accountable, when we don't make it a priority to make sure our kids know that we do everything we can to make sure we are getting our butts to church together, to the local gathering of believers that we have leaderships, that we a leadership role, people in the church that we fall under, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, you are supposed to have leaders that watch over your souls. That's speaking about people, okay? You gotta have that, guys. It's huge. And when you, as a parent, don't make it a priority to make sure you are in there fellowshipping, to make sure you are in there getting involved with the church, to make sure you are in there holding people accountable, to make sure you are in there in worship, okay? Your kids see that. Watch. Just watch this for me. If you attend a church somewhere, if the parents are late to worship, see if the kids show up on time when they turn 18 or 22 and still go to the, these are the ones that still go to the church. If the parents don't make it a priority, see if the kids do. I remember a pastor giving a message during Mother's Day, and it was an admonition against the fathers. Because why? It was a message on Mother's Day, and the pastor gave an admonition to his congregation. But he said, you look, it's Mother's Day. And guess what? A lot of the mothers are there. And for Mother's Day, they brought their family members, their son or their daughter that doesn't typically go to church with them. And they showed up today. And the pews are full. And I'm so excited. But guess what's going to happen in Father's Day in a couple weeks? Dad's going to take the son fishing. They're going to go to a Dodger game. And they're not going to make it a priority to say, I want them in fellowship really badly. And so that is the example you lead, is that, oh, let's use this to have fun, instead of saying, hey, let's start with the edifice here that we always meet with our body. We always meet with the congregation. Okay, I think that is a huge, huge thing. If you don't make it a priority, they will not. If they don't see the importance of making sure you're in the body, they don't see the importance of making sure you're assembling together with your brethren, encouraging them one another day by day while we still have today, encouraging them in good works, encouraging them to love. Guys, if they don't see that, guess what? It's more about what you do than what you say. If they don't see that you make it a priority, they won't either. And that's the truth. Okay, so your example one, your example that you care. Okay, if you don't care about going to church and you're like, well, I don't need that, then you're already got, you got problems of your own, and we could talk about something else. But if we're talking about fellowshipping, gathering together with the believers, coming into worship, hearing the word, and gathering for fellowship, guys, if you want to be there and be a good example for your kids. Another one, guys, it's really frustrating to me because I'll hear this all the time from believers I love, okay? And they'll say, well, I don't want to force them to go. I don't want to force them. I want them to go out of their own free will. But the fact is, if that same kid said they're not going to go to school, what would you do? You better. You better get your butt to school. Okay? But of course, you know, church, you know, you think that, oh, that's no big deal. I think that is absolutely ridiculous that we would look at things like that. That we would look at school, okay? That we would look at that as more important than making sure they're in fellowship. And think about the hours that that happens. I'm not going to get into the whole homeschool, public school debate. And I listened to an entire podcast show for an hour and a half from these guys who are convinced that the reason why kids fall away is because they go to public school. And I'll tell you, hey, my kids are going to be homeschooled without a doubt, okay? I was raised in public school. My wife was raised in homeschool. I was a degenerate. My wife was a virgin until the day we got married, okay? And she followed the Lord, loved the Lord with all her heart. Now, there are plenty of examples of kids who went to homeschool and know nothing about the Lord, don't want to follow him, and even hate him, okay? And there are plenty of people, and I'm telling you this right now, two of the young kids that I know that love the Lord the most, actually multiple kids that I know that love the Lord the most that came through our youth groups or have been involved are, guess what? Guys who went to public school, all right? And I, myself, I've taught wrestling for 11 years at public schools, all right? I've done that to be, guess what? In the trenches, because I recognize what they're being taught every day, and I want them to know the Lord. That's my heart's cry, for them to know the Lord, okay, while they're having all these other things built. And guys, if you try to walk through a local high school here in Simi Valley, I'm going to be honest with you, you're going to be absolutely surprised at some of the stuff that the ladies wear these days. It's incredible. I mean, in not a good way. It's hard to fathom. And some of the stuff, and this is something, guys, that's been a passion of mine. I've heard literally pastors give these messages, and I've heard teachers and people I've talked to that said things like, oh, the kids have it so easy this day. And I look at them and I'm betwixt. I'm like, the kids have it so easy today? Did you have a phone that was in your pocket that you could dim down and look at pornography in the middle of the day at any time? Most of the parents here would have had to steal it from their parents underneath their bed. Did you have girls with apps that literally are telling you, I will sleep with you right now? Most people did not. Guys, this is the stuff. If you're ignorant of these things, I'm just warning you guys. I'm not saying this stuff to try to scare. I'm saying it to warn. This is what is going on. In fact, right across the street from my parents' house, at the middle school that I went to, there was a big uproar because the parents found out that girls were coloring their lipstick darker red to signify how far they will go with a guy. And this was an epidemic at the entire school. Junior high, we are talking, what, 11 to 13? 11 to 14 year olds? Guys, it's not a joke. And if you think, my daughter's this and she can't even be messed with, you know, she's so strong. Guys, let's not be ignorant. Take heed where you stand, lest you fall, let alone your daughter. Imagine they're at public school. Okay? Just put this into perspective, the amount of time that is spent. All right? Imagine they're in public school. You have what? 9 hours at the public school. You have their phone, which is probably texting friends from public school all day. You have Fortnite, which they're probably on playing for hours on end. How much of that time do you think they get to get into the Word? If your kid is reading the Word 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes, reading God's Word 15 minutes a day, I'm saying you're probably doing a great job as a parent. And that's it, 15 minutes in a day. And yet for hours upon hours upon hours, most of your parents, if you have kids who play video games, you have to put a limit on them, right? If you didn't, they would play all night. They wouldn't even sleep. I will guarantee that. Those endorphins, that serotonin, that stuff's going off in their brains. Guess what? They're going to keep playing and keep playing and keep playing and keep playing. I remember when we had a Super Nintendo when I was a kid, and my mom and dad, they were like, here, and they let us put it in our room. We didn't sleep all night, and my mom woke up for work the next day, 5 a.m., and she heard us. We tried to hide under the covers and get away. I'm telling you guys, if you let kids do whatever they want, they will. Okay, so this is something you have to also recognize and say, wait a second, how much of my time is having constant interaction with my kids, warning them about the word, and not just warning them, telling them about the word, warning them about the pitfalls that may come. And guys, this is whether you're homeschooled or otherwise, okay? We need to be honest with our kids, okay? That's something that I've tried to do with my kids right away. I want to make sure they know. When we share the gospel, my kids come with me, they hand out tracts. When we are talking, I don't care how old they are. I want to be direct. I'm very serious. People get really embarrassed to talk about stuff. I talk to high school kids. Don't think they're as dumb as you think they are. Okay? Now, they're ignorant on purpose a lot of times. But guess what? They're not as dumb as you think they are. All right? A lot of times, think about biblical times. A lot of them be married. A lot of these kids, they were looking at like, well, we don't want to teach the hard truths, you know, about scripture. We don't want to teach doctrine to these kids in the high school. We want to make sure that they come up and eat gummy worms. And eat pizza at youth group. This is nonsense, guys. You're having people come to youth groups and you're having people talk to them like they're children, like they're 5 years old, and then you're feeding them gummy worms, all right? You have a bunch of soda, and now we have a fun time watching a video, and if I give a 3-minute message, now they're really going to get into the word. This is a lot of youth groups that I've seen. In fact, I've been involved with different ministries to the high school age groups during lunches. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, if you hear a gospel message, you know the gospel message usually pertains? It's usually 5 minutes of the 30-minute lunch. And in that gospel message, a lot of times it will talk about how, well, you know, however you are, however you come, just come as you are. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or non-believer, just come and visit. No, do you want a bunch of wolves amongst your sheep? Okay, it's good to reach out, but it's better to edify. It is good to reach out, but it is better to edify. One of the most important things is that you make sure your kids are being edified by your parents, that if you have a youth pastor, that he is digging into the word and teaching them the word of God. One of the other things that is really important is that your kids know how to share their faith, because their atheist friends know how to. Their Mormon friends know how to. Their JW friends know how to. All these people, these secularists, all these Herodians, whatever you want to call them, they all know how to share their faith to your kids. Their teachers know how to share their faith to their kids. Their worldview is going to be shared to your kids. They better know how. Okay? And this is a grouping of a lot of different reasons why kids don't go to the church anymore. And if you ask an apologist, he's going to tell you it's because apologetics aren't taught to the kids, which I would agree with. If you talk to somebody who's involved in homeschool ministry, they're going to tell you because they go to public school. There's going to be a lot of different reasons why certain kids. Ultimately, I'm going to tell you what the true reason is. It's not that much of a secret. It's sin, guys. Sin is the reason why. Especially when you turn 18 to 22, especially if you go off to college and are away from your parents, guess what you're going to do? You are probably going to go... The falling away usually is accompanied at that age by a bong load and a beer bottle, okay? That's just a fact. Can we actually be serious and talk about this? That's what's going on, okay? All their friends are doing it. They're away from their parents. They think they won't find out, and now they can go and do the things that they wanted to do in their wicked, sinful hearts. This is why, and I remember having a conversation as a newer believer, talking about the homeschool, you know, public school thing. And one of the things that I said to a friend, he's like, well, I don't want to shelter them and not tell them about this and that. And I said, it's not about sheltering, but find me in scripture where we just put all the pantheon of gods and say, well, they're all equal. Which one's true? That is not scriptural. Okay. We have God set aside. That's not what we want. We don't want God set aside and say, pick from your pantheon of gods. Oh, we want to just give you a chance to understand all these. No, I want you to understand them in the proper prism, which is that they're sinful. Okay? God is objective in his word over and over. Jesus didn't say, hey, I tell you a story. No, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say unto you. The word of God says this, That is how we're supposed to interact with our children. It's because it's true. If somebody is telling your child, it doesn't matter what it is, okay? And I've had this happen personally, okay, with people I love. But I tell my kid, this is wrong. We don't do that. We don't watch these things. And somebody tells them, well, we just think differently. You know, I tell them, no. No, we think right because we go and coincide with the Word of God. Okay? We should be dogmatic. Anyone that tells you not to be dogmatic with your kids, you got problems, dude. I'm sorry. You got to make sure you're dogmatic about stuff. You got to make sure you're dogmatic about the things that matter and make sure that your kids don't just think we have different opinions. There's a right one, and it's the one that is under the will of Christ. It's the one that's brought every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we get away from that, then our kids are just giving these pantheons and all these different gods, and you can choose which one. And which one are they going to choose when they get to college? Which one are they going to choose when they get old enough to, quote unquote, make their own decisions? They're going to choose the one that feels the best. Because instead of it being true, instead of it being, hey, this is the Word of God and it is true and you should live by it, we read the words that tell us that Job esteemed God's word more than his necessary food. We read Jesus say, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word of God. And instead of sharing the truths of scripture with our kids, we put them in front of talking vegetables. And don't get me wrong, I love VeggieTales. And I play them for my kids because they're 2, 4, and 6 and -2 months, okay? So I have no problem with VeggieTales. But guess what we get into before they go to bed every night? We get into the word together. We sing worship songs together. And they make sure that, guess what? Daddy's not a hypocrite. He's going to live out his faith. Be an example. Don't think that you as parents, that you hand off your children even to your pastor or to your youth pastor or to the ministry. That's not what you do. You yearn them up in the word of the Lord. And by the way, what a great accountability to you, right? That you have to be digging into the word. So when your kid asks you the question of evil, right? If God, why evil? When kid asks you a question, oh, I heard this something at school, or somebody on my soccer team said this, or somebody on my football team said this, you need to be able to give answers. So what should you be doing? Studying yourself to show it approved. You need to be approved by God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible doesn't say, this is how you make sure that this plan will keep your kid on the right path if you follow these 10 directions. This is what it says in Psalm 119. How will a young man keep his way pure? But keeping it according to your word. God's word is what will keep him pure. If he writes his word, if he writes God's word, that or he or she writes God's word on their heart, that they may not sin against him. If they know that it's true, guys, that's so important. It's so important to recognize it is true. And this is a heart's cry passion once again. I don't care if I've said that and it's been annoying that I've said it too many times, but it's true. I care about this. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, without a doubt, is a portion of scripture that you should be meditating on concerning this subject. It's a portion of scripture that you should think about in your own walk, but make sure in your child's walk, okay? Do not dangle your kid out like a carrot, thinking you're gonna bring a bunch of people to the Lord if you have them hanging out with all these non-believers. Because this is what it says. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Verse 14. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with the temple of idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. How important is that text concerning this? That their friends would not be non-believers. Guys, if their friends are non-believers, guess what? Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air works through the sons of disobedience. If you're in ministry right now,
bad company corrupts good morals, too.
Yeah, do not be deceived, right? Yep. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Amen. And if you're in ministry right now, if Satan can't get after you, he's a coward. He'll attack your children. That's exactly what he will do. You need to make sure they know the word. Don't think that they're so dumb that they can't understand concepts, okay? They're learning probably math right now that you don't understand or can't teach them, okay? Unless you're Rich Cromwick. Shout out to Rich Cromwick over there in Las Vegas. We love you, bro. if you're listening. But don't think that, guess what? Oh, they're just, they wouldn't be able to understand that. Guys, they're trying to learn concepts every day in school. All right, they're trying to learn concepts in homeschool. Make sure they know the word, God's word. Make sure that if they understand it's sufficient. Make sure they understand doctrine. Make sure they understand heresies. Make sure they understand these things. Sure, take your kids out with you when you share the gospel. Don't leave your kids behind during ministry. That's something my wife and I decided a long time ago. That's one of the reasons we homeschooled. I know, obviously, big deal not to be in public school, especially guys, been in public schools my whole life, coached at public schools for the last 11 years. I see all the minds to step on and explode your children's faith. And that is one reason I will not be sending my kids to public school. I'm not going to condemn anyone who does. I'm not saying that at all. I do think we can be somewhat arrogant and ignorant and say, well, I'll send my kid to public school because they'll be a light. And thinking that your 12-year-old daughter is an apologist or something, I don't understand that concept. But I'm not saying it's sin. I'm just saying me personally. And because it's for me, I have the viewpoint of what it looks like in the church with a bunch of homeschool people, including my own children, and what it looks like in the public school realm. Okay, and I've been paid by public schools for the last 11 years in coaching, okay, and been in there and involved in it and enveloped in it. And yet, I want to make sure my kids have a good edifice, and I know that they're stuck living my schedule. Okay, so when we go on mission trips and we're heading down to Mexico and we're going to Israel, they're going to be there and they need to have somewhere where they can still learn school and have my wife teaching them and myself. So they had to get involved in a schedule. But guess what? They play sports. They're going to be with non-believers all the time. Everyone will. I mean, it's one thing to hide your kids in a cocoon or something. It's another thing to say, I'm going to teach you truth, and wherever you go, that light will follow. And I'm going to continue to teach you truth and be honest with your kids so that they can come up with questions. If your child has doubts, think about it. In the book of Jude, it says, has mercy on those who are doubting, right? Saving them from the fire. Now, we want to make sure that if our kids have doubts, that they can come to us and not hide them. That's one thing that happens when people are in sin, right? They're hiding that they're in sin, all right? And then they hide the doubts that they're having. And when they hide those doubts, they get bigger and bigger with those sin, with the sin problem. And then they fester and fester and fester, and they never say anything to anyone. Be that person, especially for your kids, that they're able to come to and say, Dad, Mom, I don't understand this. I don't understand this doctrine. How is Jesus God? I don't understand. How does the atonement work? How does prayer work? Be open to listening. And also don't try to be the guy that says, I know everything, and I'll just, if you don't know, go study and be open and honest. Say, you know what? That one can be hard on me too. I'm going to go look. And guess what? If we're more open and honest, they're going to be more open and honest with us. And they're going to be able to open up to us when they're having problems. And then you're going to be able to share the truth of God's word with them, because his word is sufficient. Jesus Christ died for your kids, okay? He died a horrible death on a cross. And he said it'd be better if he left, because the Holy Spirit would come. And that Holy Spirit would come and live inside of them if they know the Lord. And it will give them the strength they need, whether it's to resist the bong load or to resist the beer bottle, or whatever it is that's going to try to come in their life and thwart them. And I pray that they would be not unevenly yoked, but that evenly yoked with believers, and they would stick together tight. This has been Chad Davidson and Tony Palacio, the Good Fight of Good Fight Ministries, and this is the Good Fight Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.